Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined today by Scott Sharp. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon. My goodness, what a beautiful day it is out there today.
Cracking day.
Yeah, just lovely and crisp and cool this morning. And now just that, you know, around about that perfect early 20s, just fantastic.
That's what you want, mid-20s.
Yep.
Nothing above 30, thank you very much.
Slight breeze and your day is going to be sparkling.
Scott, it's been a while since you've been here. What have you got for us?
Well, today I thought I'd talk about mangoes because everyone's around Newcastle are hunter. They're all out in flower at the moment, so it's an important time to do some spraying with your mangoes. Mm-hmm. Lavender as well, they're all out in flower. A very, very stunning little plant and very easy to look after, so we'll talk about those. And I was talking to my daughter just recently. She's just come back from San Francisco and saw a kangaroo's paw over there. So I thought we might get callers to phone in and let us know where they've seen the most unusual Australian native.
Other sides of the world?
Yes. Yeah.
I actually thought you meant a kangaroo paw.
No, it was actually the plant. And there was a hummingbird. So, yeah, we'll talk about that.
We've got Rob from New Lambton, and he's looking for an alternative for clover.
Hey, Rob, how can we help you?
G'day, Scott. Yeah, I believe I've been to Bunnings at Qatar. You can't buy Bindi anymore. And I'm just wondering if there's something else out there that you can spray straight on rather than hose.
Yeah, look, that's a real problem because the spray-ons are the only ones that are available now. So what you're going to have to – and, look, they do work – but they don't work as well as the old-fashioned ones used to work, unfortunately. So you just have to make sure that you're using them completely in accordance with the instructions. Make sure that there's plenty of growth on the clover so you haven't mowed. And then you spray. Make sure you've got a good hot day, no rain for at least, you know, like 5 hours afterwards, and you still will get some burning off of the clover and get a result.
So that's just one that you stick on your hose and it's like a 5 litre bottle or something?
Yeah, and look, what it does is it sort of sucks the poison up out of the, you know, the yellow container that they're usually in, and it sort of dilutes it as the stream of water goes across the top. So that's you know, really the only method you've got now.
Right. Okay, we'll try that. Thanks, Scott.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers, Rob. I think I had a few people talking about Bindi couple last few weeks.
Yeah, and look, and now is the time to be out there trying to get rid of your clover and bindis because they've all just shot on, you know, as we came out of winter. It's very prevalent. It's very, you know, identifiable as well. If you don't do it, it just smothers all the grass in underneath. So, yeah, really important to try and get on top of it at this time of year.
Right, we've got Gordon now from Spears Points, and he's got black spots on his tomatoes.
Oh, what's happening there, Gordon?
I'd like to know, Scott. good afternoon, anyway.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Tomatoes are growing well, and except this one vine. My daughter bought 4 plants, so I whacked them in. Didn't take much notice what they were, but this other plant, the biggest plant, it shot up to nearly 5 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
I staked it, which I stake all the plant, all my tomatoes, and I turned it up. I watered them. Put a fair bit of water on them or underneath the roots. And as it went, I turned the tomato over, these 2 large tomatoes, they had a black spot on. It was sort of not black, but a brownish colour.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you say you're watering them, are you watering them over the leaves or are you watering them down around the base?
I'm watering at the base.
Yeah, because it's really important not to water your tomatoes over the foliage, yeah, especially in, you know, if you've got really humid conditions.
Yeah.
And look, again, it is unusual because, I mean, generally it's been fairly dry, really, since you've probably put your tomatoes in. Look, they can get a blossom end rot on them, which actually forms in the flower and then just continues on into the fruit.
Yeah.
The only real way to get rid of that is when you see your flowers coming on there to spray with a copper spray or Manca Zeb Plus to try and keep that under control. Look, otherwise, just general spraying with a copper fungicide. It's not going to do, you know, any great harm to you as the end user, the eater of the tomato, but it'll certainly keep any fungal diseases under control, both on the leaves and on the fruit as well. But if you've got those ones now that are, you know, quite obviously affected, the best thing to do with those is to, you know, pick them, cut them off the vine.
I've taken most of them off,
yep.
And she ended up, my daughter's got her out and took but nearly all of them up till about as big as a 5 cent piece.
Mm.
10 cent piece. So yeah. I got myself, while I was up at Charlestown this morning, I thought, oh, I'll pull that vine out because it's not going to be any good. So
yeah. Look, that might not have been the case, but they grow quickly again. So jump down to your local garden centre, grab a couple more. There's plenty of time to get them in the ground at this time of year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a cross lizzie person.
You're the old sort of fashion one, are you? To get the big tomatoes, the big
that or the ox heart.
Yeah, and look, obviously the gross liz needs staking. A lot of people.
They are all staking. Yeah,
a lot of people like the ones that don't, need staking anymore. Some people even have the cherry tomatoes and just let them ramble on across the ground. That's a nice, easy tomato for, people to grow and the kids to grow as well. So, Well, look, keep up with it and just grab some copper spray and make sure you're spraying regularly, especially as we go into the humid months.
That gentleman with his Joey's, the Bindies.
Yes.
And Clover. Always use sulfate ammonia.
Yeah, look, and that's another thing you can do, especially on the clover. I think a lot of people get a bit heavy-handed with it, though, and they start putting it down in lumps rather than, a gentle sprinkle and let it burn.
I've always had it. From when BHP was there, I used to go to BHP and buy corn bags of it.
Oh, yeah, yep.
A dollar a bag I used to pay at BHP. I couldn't lift it half a bag onto me truck.
Yep.
I had a one tonner. I used to fill half a bag, put it on the vehicle, and then fill it up as far as it would take, a corn bag.
And look at the other great thing about sulfate as well, if you use it, sparingly, it'll really green up the lawn as well.
So it is a
pretty good little sort of cure-all for a lot of things. But if you get too heavy-handed, you're going to do some proper damage to your lawn.
It comes back.
It does, yeah.
I've done it out the front of where I am now. Then Bindi started and that, and the clover and the flat living flower, yellow little flower thing, flat leaf.
Yes.
I just put a little bit, I put a half a handful on each one of them in the centre. And after a month or so, it starts greening up the soil, like the grass. It's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thanks for that tip.
Okay.
Very handy tip. Thanks for that, Gordon.
Okay, Scott.
Cheers, mate. You too. Bye-bye now.
Then we've got Bev from Toronto. You've got a question about mangoes. Very handy.
Oh, that's very handy. Hello, Bev. How can we help you?
Well, I hope so. I heard you mention it was time to spray the mangoes.
Yes, it certainly is.
I've got a tree that's about 28 years old, and we sadly have not pruned it back at all. But I, on the northern side of the tree, I've got loads and loads of promising little mangoes.
Mm.
But I think the last few years they've basically gone black and just dropped off.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get as big as your thumb and then drop off.
Yeah. So look, mangoes do get a fungal disease called anthracnose. It can affect the leaves. And it can also affect the flowers. And then I think what's happened to you is that fungal disease stays in the flowers and then spreads into the fruit as it's forming, and then it drops off. Now, if you are lucky enough for it to actually form up, eventually you start to get black spots, and sort of ugliness all over your fruit as well. So it's really important to spray at this time of year when those plants are budding up. And you can see all that lovely flower all over them, because that protects the fruit and also the leaves as well as we go into the season.
Now, leaves have never shown any, they still look good and healthy, but it's always the fruit that just goes black and drops off.
Yeah, well, you've been a lucky one there, Bev. How big's the tree at the moment?
Oh, well, it must be... Well, about 10 foot high, I suppose. Oh,
okay, so that's not too big. Often you see mangoes and you become aware of them at this time of year. You see giant ones in people's, yards that are like almost 20 metres tall, and you think, oh, that's going to be a real problem, have the flying foxes and whatever coming in. But look, mangoes are very easy to prune. Lovely soft wood, smells beautiful when you cut it as well. So And if you just keep it like to that 8 to 10 foot size, like you've got yours at the moment, you know, it's easily accessible from a ladder to spray and to get rid of the, you know, to pick the fruit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I think a really clever thing to do is to prune your mango once the fruiting's finished on them, and then you get a really nice plant again the following year. But really important to go and get some copper spray or some mancozeb, some fungal sprays from your local garden centre, and heavily spray at this time of year to keep that anthracnose under control.
Oh, good. I'll be happy with that. But when I have had up to a half a dozen off it, but I've got to beat the possums.
And the fly, and the, you know, the fruit bat, flying fox things. There's so many things. But look, and that's the other thing. If your plant's only, you know, that, you know, a couple of metres tall, you know, 2 to 3 metres tall, you can successfully net it as well and keep the beasties away, you know, from taking on that lovely fruit where, you know, if it's, you know, 10 metres tall sort of thing, there's no way in the world you're going to net that. You need a helicopter to drop the net over the top and you know, like a tent peg to tie it down. So, yeah, just keep it nice and small and you'll have a much more successful plant and fruiting from it.
Oh, good. So it's copper spray or mancozeb.
Yeah, or mancozeb. They're both fungicides. They'll both work brilliantly for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll get the gardeners onto it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Bev. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We got Leonie from Heaton Greeter. She's got a question about fig trees.
Hello, Leonie. How can we help?
Well, a fig tree last year got attacked by some sort of bugs.
Yep.
And I didn't spray it in time, and it didn't have any fruit. The year before, it had lots of lovely fruit. This year, it hasn't started to put leaves on it yet, and my husband saw one small leaf on it, but that's now disappeared. So I'm wondering whether the bugs are still there or come back or whatever. But obviously, I can feed it flower and fruit type fertiliser or whatever, but what else do you think I should do to it?
Yeah, I'll just be giving it some liquid fertiliser at the moment. It really should have put its leaves on by now. I've got one in a pot at home that a friend gave me a few years ago. I can tell you I don't look after it too well, but it keeps on going, and it's got all its leaves on it at the moment. What they are really susceptible to, and I think yours has probably suffered from it, is they get this funny little black caterpillar on the underside of the leaf, and before you know it, these caterpillars have stripped the fig leaves apart, and they're really hard to detect because they just hide in under there and they munch away at night, and then, you know, sort of you blink and all of a sudden your fig's disappeared. So you need to get a spray that's going to get rid of caterpillars, you know, when you do get your leaves back on there, and make sure you're spraying up in underneath the leaves. But look, I think for you at the moment, some liquid fertiliser, and just see if you can spring that plant back into action, because it really should be have its leaves on there at this time of year.
Yeah, I thought it should do. But as I said, last year we missed out. And they weren't caterpillar-type things. They were sort of crawling-type. They weren't stink bugs or anything like that. They were brownish sort of bugs. And I just wondered whether they'd sort of still there, even though there's no leaves on it.
Yeah, look, probably not. You know, if there's nothing to feed on, there's not going to be any bug there to have a chomp. And look, if you do see those sort of things, always just go off to your local garden centre, describe what the bug is, and they can give you like even a pyrethrum spray, which is just a nice sort of gentle all-rounder that you can use on edible plants, and that just generally keeps, you know, most sort of bugs and crawlies under control around your edible plants, and there's no withholding period. It's, you know, nice and safe to use. So, yeah, it's probably just best to have some of that in the back shed just for when your fig does come back to life, and off you go.
I just have to dose it up with plenty of liquid fertiliser for the time being.
I think that's the best way, because I tell you, they'll grow on the side of a rock. So if you give it a boost with some fertiliser, it'll come good for you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kath. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we've got John from East Maitland, and he's got a question about clay.
Clay. John, what's going on?
Matey, I've just moved into a unit here, and it's got a retaining wall going around, and I've decided I'd like to put a garden in, but it's just full of clay.
Okay, that's not flash.
No.
Yeah, clay's one of the worst things for plants.
Yes. Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's very dense. The root system, just won't go down through it. It's nutrient poor. And then you get wet feet in plants and, very, very difficult. Look, the best thing to do is actually get out there with a bit of elbow grease, unfortunately, and start trying to break that up as best as you can. Now, when you're doing that, though, you need some gypsum. And there's also liquid clay breakers as well. Sprinkling the gypsum, sort of over the top and, hoping that's going to do the job just isn't going to do it. So you really do need to try and break the clay up, with the spade or the mattock, and then, get your gypsum in there, break it up some more, keep on doing that. Grab a few bags of manure, most probably cow manure I think is going to be the best. And the reason for that is because it's organic matter. And then the earthworms are going to come in. They're going to start burrowing through the horrid hard clay. It's going to come out the back end of the worm, and that's going to be so much better. It just starts to create this, organic matter for the plants to start to utilise. So really, your first port of call is a nice big bag of gypsum, your spade, your mattock, a few litres of your sweat, but that's all right. You can go in later on and have a drink afterwards. And break that up with the gypsum in there, some cow manure all through it as well. And then, even over the top, just a good supply of, some soil, just some good garden soil as well. And then plant in that. Keep on using liquid clay breaker, though. It does work. Make sure that you keep on introducing manures and organic matter into that soil to try and get those earthworms in there to do their business.
Too easy.
Right,
mate, thanks for that.
Okay, and look, just pick your plants that are going to handle, the clay conditions at first, so really nice and tough. It might be then after a couple of years' time you can chuff them off and, go with something a little bit more tender because you've done the hard yards now and broken up that clay.
Not a problem.
Okay.
All right, mate, thanks for that.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Talk to you later. Cheers,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We've got Robin now from Karua. She's got a question about onion weed.
Yes. It's coming up everywhere. I've got it. Pebbles in the garden, naturally. I put black plastic down or stuff, to stop the weeds from coming through. I used to use sewing machine oil back in the day.
Okay, that sounds pretty hardcore, but we'll listen.
It worked really well. So I bought some now, probably 30 years later. But no, it's not the same.
Oh, okay.
But I just need something to spray once I've got all the bulbs out.
Yep.
If I had something, I'm making, gosh, it's got some of those little bulbs that are tiny.
Yeah, look, the main thing to do, Robin, is to actually not try and dig the little beasts out because they'll just spread and spread and spread. You do have to try and poison it. Now, you need, the old Roundup or glyphosate. But where you've got it, are there other sort of plants lurking around as well, or are they in a nice, like you said, a pebbled garden? Is it somewhere?
Yeah, no. It's coming up. There's a tap there. It's coming up in and around the tap.
Yep.
And those jolly jump-ups, my gosh, they're everywhere.
Yes, okay.
I've got a geranium near it, near where the onion weed is. But I just thought if I could get something, I don't mind pulling it out by hand.
Don't be doing that because you'll actually make it far worse. You do need to go grab some, some Zero Roundup glyphosate, and
which is the best one?
Well, look, they're all actually exactly the same. It's all glyphosate there inside, so it's all going to do the job for you. You can even get a little paintbrush as well and paint it on the leaves. But if you've got if you're a bit, got a good aim, like Clint Eastwood from, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly sort of thing.
I used to play netball when I was a goalie.
Okay. Well, there we go. There we go. I'd know who. Greg, you're the good, aren't you? I must be the ugly.
I think I'm the ugly.
So,
I might be the bad.
And look, so Robin, I think we'll make the onion weed the bad in this situation. So you need to get out there and just really carefully dribble or very carefully spray the leaves. Don't go pulling them out. Don't dig them out. Make sure.
I've just spent an hour and a half out there in the sun.
Oh no.
Never mind.
Okay, that's all right. Look, you'll see them start to come back up again. They will regrow on you, and that's when you're going to start to spray them again. Make sure there's not going to be rain for about 5 hours or so, and let it soak right in, and you'll see them starting to die off. Look, persistence is also your best friend here as well. So you just have to be really, really persistent with it. When you see the new shoots coming back up, get back out there and spray again. Don't dig. Don't try and pull them out. Spray, and just be persistent. I can assure you, you will get it under control. But
I hope it's before I die.
I want to hear good thoughts this afternoon. You'll make it. We'll get rid of those onion weeds for you. Don't worry about that. You'll still be doing it.
I'm very impatient.
No,
I'm not impatient. I just can't wait.
Look, but a couple of months and you'll have it back under control. Not a problem.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Thank you. Can I quickly one more?
You can go for it. Yeah, you tell us what you want.
Right. An acacia,
yes,
which has been up the back for probably 8-9 years, mm-hmm. and it was growing beautiful. But now, this year, it looks like it's half dead. The leaves are that tiny.
Mm.
I've just cut about probably 2 foot off it, up the top and all around, and I've given it Thrive, I've given it Sea Salt, and I've given it plenty of water.
Yeah, look, sometimes with acacias, you just have to, they're a quick growing plant, quick growing, short lifespan. Once you're getting to that 8 to 9 years, you're starting to, sort of push out, how long they're actually going to last for. So it might be that you just, see how we go this year in spring and summer, and it might be time to pull it out next season and start again.
Dig it out. Yeah. All right, then, thank you very much. Okay. You have a nice afternoon.
And you have a lovely afternoon too, Robin.
Thank you, Scott. Bye.
We've got John from Belmont. He's also got a question about onion weed.
We might have answered two birds with one stone. We might have answered your question earlier.
No, I thought of that, but the only thing is mine's going in my lawn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, I've got buffalo,
mm-hmm.
and I've just feed and weed it, and it's looking really nice, but there's onion weed coming up.
Yeah, and look, the trouble is you're feeding the onion weed as well when you're doing that.
Yeah, that'd be right.
Look, there's no... there's no herbicide that is going to get rid of onion weed in lawn, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I just say to people, keep on mowing it out.
Look,
that's really the only way to do it. You notice it more coming, into winter, because it's the thing that keeps on growing. Your lawn stops, especially with buffalo. So that's just something you just notice more. But as the grass starts to grow, quicker, spring, summer, you just tend to not see it so much. And I think it's just something in lawn you have to almost accept that it's there. Look, you could get out there with the tiny paintbrush, but it's story.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah, and if you start to spill it, you're going to, create patches in your lawn, all over the place. So
yeah, I think it's just that's what I was thinking of. If I start to spray it, with a weed killer, I was going to have burnt spots, dead spots here, there, everywhere. So
yeah, look, I tried it one time and I thought I was, a pretty good shot myself. But I just had patches all through the lawn. So my experience is, don't do it. You just keep on mowing it out, except that it's there.
Keep on mowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No problems, mate. Thank you very much.
Okay, good on, John. Thanks for the call, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
We've got Amanda from Nelson Bay, and she's got a pine tree problem.
This sounds dangerous. Hello, Amanda. How can we help?
Hi. Look, I've got this pine tree that it's only got one trunk, but then it branches up to about 5 or 6 others, and then they all sort of starting to flay out a bit, And what I've had to remove a few because they just fall like 45 degrees off.
Yes.
The main stem. And I'm just wondering do you think I should get a ratchet strap and sort of drag them all in together, or what's the go with that?
And so what sort of pine tree have you got?
Oh, look, I don't know. I've had it trimmed off at the top.
Yep.
I have no idea. It's just like a normal conifer, I think. I don't know what breed it is. But it just, like I said, it starts off with one trunk and then it flays out to about 6 or 7 others.
Yeah.
But look, they're all sort of branching out and falling out, and I've got to cut them off because they land onto other trees in the garden, and I don't know what to do about it.
See, I was right. It is dangerous. This is not good. Look, I think in this sort of situation, Amanda, you'd probably need to get an arborist out just to check out the plant again and have a look at it. And it might just be time to...
I've had it trimmed off at the top a few years ago, But it's just a pain in the neck, actually, but I'm just don't know what to do. And they don't just sort of they just sort of lay off to the right or left or whatever. And I don't know what else to do. So I just thought, how to bring them together or how to stop that happening, I don't know.
Yeah, look, I don't think using old ratchet straps, you know, a long-term solution. Sometimes, you know, your long-term solution is, you know, replace it and start again with, you know, a plant that's a little bit more suitable for the space.
It's been there a lot of years. That's the only thing.
Okay, well, we won't condemn it this afternoon in that case.
Yeah, look, there was another chap that rang and said about his Bindio and that you can't buy Bindio anymore. Yep. But I use a product called Clean Lawn, KLEEN Lawn.
Yes.
And it gets rid of Bindio, clover and your flatweed and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it loves the broadleaf. Yeah, Clean Lawn loves the broadleaf weeds. Yes. Look, I think he probably needs to get out to his local garden centre and ask around. You know, there's other sources of supply out there for those chemicals. So, look, I think that's probably, you know, Bindi and those products are still, you know, out there, but he just needs to shop around.
Tell me why I'm talking to you at the moment, Scott. Why did they stop Bindi in the first place? What's wrong? What was the compound that they said wasn't,
I'm not really sure about that. Look, it was largely sort of like a salt-based, unfortunately, society does this. We take away things, for good or bad reasons sometimes. It just seems to have happened this time. So, look, there might be still some supplies out there at your local garden centre or alternatives as well. So probably great to get out there and just see what's around.
It makes it hard, doesn't it? When one that works really good, they end up taking it away and you're stuck with, what else do I do about this? Never mind.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Okay.
Where's your mum? Is she okay?
Oh, yeah. She'll survive. I haven't turned the machine off yet, Amanda. it's still beeping away. Anyway.
Yeah, she's a survivor. She had to put up with you. She got to be a survivor.
Well.
Love it. Okay. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks,
okay,
Amanda. Bye bye now. Bye.
Thanks, Scott. Bye bye, love.
We've got Joy now from Brightwater. She's got a question about the finger lime.
Hi, Scott. It's Joy. Look, I've got a finger lime tree I planted maybe 10 years ago. It's now 3 metres high, very thorny and a nasty type of plant.
Yes, but the fruit's very nice, though.
No, I've never, ever, ever had one type of fruit.
Ah.
It blossoms.
Yes.
But no fruit.
Oh, okay. Look, I think you probably do need to. Have you got a semi-shady spot? Where are you growing it at the moment?
Yes, I'm growing it in a semi-shady spot.
Okay.
When I say semi-shady, it might get western sun in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have noticed, and that is that. There's no bees around.
Yeah, look, that can always be a problem for pollination of the flowers on the plant. Is your finger lime in a pot or is it in the ground?
No, it's in the ground.
It's in the ground,
and
okay.
And as I said, it's over 3 metres high.
Okay. Look, one of the things you can do to promote flowering in plants is use sulphate of potash. Now, you can either get it as a powder or you can get it as a liquid. The thing with it, though, is that you can't just sort of use it, you know, once or twice and, you know, think all's going to be well in the world.
Right.
It actually moves through the soil quite quickly. So it's a chemical that, a product, I should say, it's not really a chemical, that you need to be using, I would say, you know, once every month, mixing it up in the watering can and then just watering it around the plant. Now, what that does is it strengthens the flowering and the fruiting of the plant. So you won't get that drop-off of the flowers. And then hopefully it might attract more bees and you'll get the pollination and then you'll get the fruit coming on. So I'd jump out to your local garden centre, sulphate of potash. Because otherwise you're telling me you've got a pretty nice, you know, looking plant, but it just sounds deficient in that flowering aspect. So...
It's planted, I don't know, about 3 metres from my limes.
Okay. And how are they doing? They're doing all right as well?
Yeah, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you know, as I said, I've had this for over, you know, 10 years, and I've never had one single solitary fruit from it.
Yeah, look, and they are a more tender plant. You know, they actually came out of the rainforest. They are a bit more tender. Look, I'll just be getting some sulfate of potash and using it this year, you know, doing it once a month and see how you go.
Thank you for that, Scott.
Okay.
And the good, the bad and the ugly. Well, I don't think you're ugly.
You haven't seen me in the flesh, Joy.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, good on you, Joy. Thank you.
Bye.
Probably running out of time as we've got Gary from Stroud. He's got a question about pyrethrum.
Hey, Gary, how can we help, mate?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's getting a bit narky, isn't it? Can we change it from the good, the bad, and the debonair or something?
Oh, well, you know, Greg and I, we're never against each other.
Okay, so not to confuse everyone, I know I'm not on Pet Talkback, but we're having a lot of trouble with ticks this year, and I've got a lot of Australian native gardens.
Yes.
So there's lots of leaf mulch and whatnot around. Just wanting to know, will the pyrethrum spray keep the ticks at bay, and or will it affect my natives?
Look, it certainly won't affect the natives. I mean, it's a pretty gentle sort of spray. I don't know if it's going to actually kill ticks. You've really got me there. I'd have to confess. You can only give it a try and see if it does reduce the, you know, the numbers in the area. But yeah, ticks are pretty resilient little things. I once had one land on my knuckle. And it was the most horrible thing because you could feel every little movement on your knuckle into the bone. It was terrible. Yeah.
That sounds horrific.
I'm glad you said knuckle then.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just what we're feeling the issue is, it's the leaf matter and the nice dry mulch around the bottom of the plants, and that's where they're loving it. And I just wondered if there was anything I could spray around. Give it a try, you think?
I can give it a try. Look, it's certainly not going to, you know, do any, you know, real harm. You just don't want to, you know, be spraying when the bees are lurking around as well. So probably pick your times of day to go out there and do it. But, yeah, look, otherwise no real harm.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. We'll give it a go.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Gary. Bye, mate.
Oh, we've got David now from Weston. He's got he's got a plant in interesting places.
Hey, David, how can we help, mate?
G'day, Scott. My stepfather was director of the Botanic Gardens for 21 years, so he sort of knew what he was doing.
Yes.
In fact, he started the Botanic Gardens in Darwin in 1937. So he just loved all Australian plants. His pet hate, of course, was roses. He couldn't stand them. But he had Sturt's Desert Pea in full flower in a rockery in Castle Cove.
Oh, wow, that's lovely. That is really a beautiful plant. It's a wonder it lasted in the humidity, though. That's he's done very well to make that happen, yeah.
Yes. Scott, he also had the perfect cure for onion weed. I know a lot of people have been ringing up about it today.
Yeah, and what was that?
He told me when I was newly married, we moved into a house that had onion weed, and he said, you know, the only way to get rid of it, I said, how? He said, move.
It's pretty much the truth, isn't it? Once it's there, it's very difficult to keep under control.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that Sturt Desert Pea was really brilliant, red and beautiful.
Yes, a beautiful plant. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that very much, David.
Okay, Scott.
Okay.
Bye.
Jeez, bye.
Thanks, David. Scott, we've got about 1 minute left. I've heard the old thing that people say of onion weed. I think you brought it up ages ago. Rubber gloves. And cotton gloves?
Yes, yeah, that's the way.
And, that's a bit of a menial.
It is. And you look, it's a safe way of putting it on there. I always say put some glasses on those so you don't go and accidentally scratch your eye. Yeah, but look, the rubber glove, the cotton glove over the top, dip your fingers in and just then wipe it up and down the leaves. But it takes a lot to do that. Yeah.
Especially if you've got a heap of onion weed, I imagine.
It really does, yeah. The paintbrush can be a good little thing. You act, you know, be like Picasso out there in the garden and paint your onion weeds. And see what happens.
Don't get too carried away with it, though. That's surely not.
No, let's not do that.
Scottie Sharp, a couple of seconds left. Anything you want to finish with? Because, well, you're both away next week.
Yeah. Look, it's actually Jude's birthday. She is. Yeah, she's getting on. But, she's almost there.
Big birthday celebrations?
Oh, look, I don't think so. I don't think so. She's not up to it anymore.
That's a big call.
Yeah, well.
I reckon she might say otherwise.
She'll give it a crack, but, look, I think we know otherwise.
Scott Sharp, thank you very much. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, talk to you then.
I suppose we should be watering as well. That's a very important thing.
Oh, yes, definitely at the moment. Yeah, it's starting to get dry out there. No rain, yeah.
All right, 2 weeks. Gardening Talkback returns on 2NURFM 103.7.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.